World War One on the BBC.
General mobilization, army and navy order.
The 31st of July. At 11:40 a.m., news of Russia's decisive move towards war reaches Berlin.
First day of Russian mobilization, 31st of July.
The German Chancellor can no longer resist the military's pressure. Germany's war plans depend on knocking France out first and then turning Germany's full force on Russia. Speed is crucial. He persuades the Kaiser to order a full mobilization and sends an ultimatum to Paris and to St. Petersburg to stop their preparations. At the War Ministry, an aide writes in his diary.
Everywhere, beaming faces, shaking of hands in the corridors, one congratulates oneself for having taken the hurdle.
The Kaiser arrives in the city, driving through the Brandenburg Gate in an open car. The newspaper editor, Theodor Wolf, sees the scene.
The hurrah-yelling crowd heated itself up to a stormy enthusiasm. It overflowed as if the crowd wanted to show the Kaiser through their proximity how close they felt to him. It was a warm, sunny day. In the hot air, there was already the sweaty breath of fever and the smell of blood.
My darling, there is still hope, although the clouds are black and blacker.
The First Lord of the Admiralty, Winston Churchill, writes to his wife with the news from London.
The city has simply broken into chaos. The world's credit system is virtually suspended.
There is turmoil on the world's financial markets. The city of London sees the worst panic selling in years. At 10:15 a.m., the stock exchange is closed. The first time since 1773.
You cannot sell stocks and shares. You cannot borrow. Prices of goods are rising to panic levels. Scores of poor people are made bankrupt.
The British cabinet is still split. They can't agree on whether Britain has obligations to help France. Its ambassador, Paul Cambon, is certain Britain does. He argues the British failure to act is encouraging Germany to go to war with France and Russia. The Foreign Secretary, Sir Edward Grey, who still hopes to preserve the peace, insists that Britain is completely free to act as it wishes.
The commercial and financial situation is exceedingly serious. It is possible that our standing aside might be the only means of preventing a complete collapse of European credit.
In France, the powerful socialist leader Jean Jaurès is continuing to push for a European general strike to stop the war. At 9:40 p.m., Jaurès goes to his favorite café, sitting by a window which is open to let some air into the stifling room. A right-wing fanatic fires twice from the pavement. Jaurès dies at once. Europe's most influential advocate for peace is gone. Thank you for downloading this program from the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/ww1.